Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008. This is the Australia Report with CEO of the New South Wales Jewish Board of Deputies, Vic Aladev. Good day, mate.
Vic Aladev, a very good morning or good afternoon, whatever time it is there. How are you?
It is 3:45 p.m. Tuesday afternoon in Sydney.
All right. So a number of things to talk about this morning. The one that I find a bit perplexing is the JNF story. Tell me about this.
A very interesting development here. So JNF Australia has distanced itself from JNF Israel.
Yes.
JNF Israel, the formal name, Keren Kayemet Leisrael, JNF Israel. And this comes after JNF Israel has moved closer towards purchasing land in the West Bank. And interestingly, by just one vote last week, JNF Israel's board of directors approved a controversial allocation of 38 million shekels, Israeli shekels, to facilitate the purchase of lands in the West Bank for settlement expansion purposes. And it's due to meet again, that's JNF Israel, after the election on March 23, to determine its policies on the other side of the green line and to rule on whether or not to give final approval for the purchase. So in the meantime, JNF Australia is not waiting for this final decision. And it's issued a statement just days ago saying that JNF Australia is an independent entity from JNF Israel, has no representatives on the JNF Israel board, and is not bound by any of its decisions. And it goes on to say that it selects, funds its own projects in support of its mission to develop the Negev, and therefore is not going to put Australia JNF funds onto the other side of the green line. So, interesting development.
Wow.
There.
What's the reaction been? Because this really does wade into all sorts of very difficult conversations, and it could have quite a negative impact on JNF Australia as well as Israel.
Well, it does, and it buys into a broader issue. So, first of all, to answer your question, what's the reaction? To date, I'm only aware of a reaction from two local organizations, one being NIF Australia. Now, I'm not aware if NIF has a presence in South Africa, does it?
It's not something I'm familiar with. What is NIF?
So NIF stands for the New Israel Fund, and this is a body, it's set up in Australia approximately 10 years ago now, but it's been in Israel for many years, and it depends who you ask. Now, if you read NGO Monitor, which is a respected Israeli NGO watchdog organization, they point to a number of problems with NIF Australia. In full disclosure, we at the Board of Deputies have had issues with NIF Australia, and the most specific one being that NIF Australia has over years brought speakers out to Australia from Israel and elsewhere who put them onto national public radio, and they have proceeded to denigrate Israel. Wow. And their explanation, defense, rationale for that is that Israel is a democratic state. It's important people hear both sides, etc. And we have continued to have issues with that approach. And so NIF Australia, which is on the left of the spectrum, and Habonim Dror, which is the Habonim Dror youth movement, they have both come out supporting JNF Australia's position on this issue.
Right. Well, no surprise about either of those. I mean, that's exactly the line
exactly.
That you would expect them to take. Right.
And just digressing from that slightly, there have been discussions and, dare I say, disputes amongst various parts of the Habonim movement here over the last couple of years, with some parts of the movement saying that the movement is becoming too left-wing, others saying, no, this is our philosophy, et cetera, et cetera. So that in itself is a different discussion. But this JNF Australia position, I mean, yes, could it be a precedent in other diaspora communities? I guess it remains to be seen.
Yeah, very, very interesting, and I think very concerning when you have this type of split. I think both organizations, both the Australia JNF and JNF in Israel, will be the losers for it. New Zealand government pension funds divest from Israel?
Yes, so another form of divestment or separation. And this one, a pretty sorry one, I have to say, well, as was the other one, is that the New Zealand government's formal pension fund has now withdrawn its savings from six Israeli banks, as in basically just a BDS approach. And what makes it even more problematic is that it's basing its rationale on United Nations rulings. Now, we all know the history of the UN. The UN has passed 112 resolutions against Israel in the last 5 years, as opposed to 42 against the entire rest of the world. And we know well what a farce the UN is in terms of its position on Israel.
Right.
And sadly, New Zealand now, in its wisdom, is basing its decision on UN rulings to withdraw its pension funds from six Israeli banks.
So, I'm just a bit confused. The UN doesn't have a policy of divestment from Israel.
I'll choose to let that one through the keeper. But however, it's not part of the same discussion, sadly, is that one would be hard-pressed to find New Zealand withdrawing its funds from banks in China, Turkey, Russia, Saudi Arabia, let alone the nefarious activities of many of those countries, China, occupied Tibet, Turkey, Cyprus, Russia, Chechnya, Ukraine, etc. Not a very positive situation at all.
What do you think it is that explains New Zealand's position? We've seen this over and over again in New Zealand's fairly anti-Israel stance in terms of global politics. Is there a reason for it? Do we understand where this comes from?
It's varied over the years. So going back 20 years or so,
we seem to have Vic, you have muted your call apparently, so if you could just unmute us. There we go. Vic, can you hear
us? Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. The phrase of 2020 and 21. You're on mute. Right. But, oh no, you've done that again. Vic, you've actually muted yourself again. There we go.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, now I can.
Apologies. So what I'm saying is, about 20 years ago, New Zealand had a vehemently anti-Israel policy, and then it became more moderate over the years, and this decision now to withdraw from six Israeli banks is pretty much coming out of the blue. I was going to say out of left field. It's not as if there has been a spate of anti-Israeli actions in recent times. There have not. But it's come as a bit of a shock, and certainly has not come on the back of other anti-Israel movements out of that country. So yes, it is a little bit of a surprise, I have to say.
Very, very, very strange one. Tell us about the banning of the swastika.
So the state where Melbourne is located is called Victoria, the state, for the last little while, several months now, the opposition party in Victoria has led an investigation into whether or not the swastika should be banned from being displayed in public places. And just a couple of days ago, it came out with its findings saying, yes, it should be banned from public places. And so now, I emphasize that this is the opposition, so it's not the government, so it doesn't mean it's going to be banned. It does, however, play into a broader scenario. First of all, the timing, it just happened, the report happened to come out the very day after a giant, massive swastika was daubed on Bondi Beach. Bondi Beach is a heart of Jewish Sydney, mm-hmm. and there's a skate ramp where kids skate up and down, and the entire skate ramp was daubed with a giant swastika. Just happened to coincide with the releasing of this report. Why it strays into a broader area is because two things. First of all, banning the public swastika is not a simple thing to do. In terms of, first of all, if you're going to ban the swastika, are you also going to ban the ISIS flag, the Hezbollah flag? Where does it stop?
Right.
It's secondly, there are free speech issues. Thirdly, we hear this, and I have actually personally written a column about it in the mainstream media. Our friends in the Hindu community, for the Hindu people, the swastika is a symbol of peace going back thousands of years.
Right.
Thousands of years. And it's the Nazis who came along and hijacked that swastika and twisted it to its own grotesque ends. And so the Hindu community do not want to see the swastika banned. It's their symbol of peace. What they do want to do is see it repositioned and acknowledged as a symbol of peace and not with a terrible connotation that goes with it. So it's not a simple proposition to say ban the swastika. It invites all sorts of discussions and needs to be nuanced discussions. So this inquiry has come out saying, yes, let's ban the swastika. People in other states are jumping on the bandwagon and saying, yes, let's do it, particularly if they're in opposition governments in the various states. But as I say, it's not a simple matter, and therefore I do not believe that the swastika is going to be banned anytime soon, and nor should it be as a simple matter. If it is going to be, it's a complex situation, which also, by the way, has to take into account artistic display and academic scholarship.
Absolutely.
And if you're going to put the Sound of Music on at the Opera House, well, then you're going to have swastikas on the stage for obvious reasons.
Absolutely.
So it's a complex situation.
It is indeed, Vic Aladev. Thank you.